Charles Paris, So Much Blood. Episode 2.
Surprisingly stubborn stuff, Blood. All right, as quotes go, it's no will these hands ne'er be clean, but you improvise Jacobean verse while staunching a dagger wound. With calm yet brisk efficiency, the paramedics trolleyed Angus out of the theatre and into the back of an ambulance, and the Edinburgh Fringe chalked up its first death of the year. I mean, real death, not a rough night for a new stand-up.
We were just waiting for the others to finish their photo shoot so we could start rehearsing Death's Mystery. It's a one-man show I'm directing. It's about Hood, the Victorian poet, not the Sherwood Forest Outlaw. I learnt CPR.
Running on shock and adrenaline, Francis was giving a stream of consciousness witness statement to a baffled-looking police officer.
Funny how these things stick, although I never had recourse to use it.
She'd never had recourse to use the word recourse before either, but my attention was caught by sobbing in a corner of the studio theatre. Why sweet tea is supposed to be good for shock, I've no idea, but I took a consolatory cup over to Laura, the student stage manager. Drink this.
Is it decaffeinated?
It's tea.
Oh, I don't do stimulants.
It's so sweet, caffeine's the least of your worries, unless you're diabetic.
I'm not. Thanks.
I reflected on the stimulant excesses of my own student days. The memories alone gave me a hangover.
That gurgling noise he made.
He being DJ cum actor Angus.
I can't get his face out of my mind.
The fatal accident occurred during a photo shoot for a play about Mary, Queen of Scots.
All that blood.
While Laura sipped and sniffed, I remembered the dying man's words, not him. But who the him was, I had no idea.
So much blood.
And before I could ask, Angus had drifted out of consciousness.
When they took him away, do you know if he was, you know...
There was no pretty way to put it, so I nodded.
The first time's always shocking.
How many times have you seen someone die?
I've got an unconventional hinterland.
Poor policeman. I suppose it's a shock, but my statement came out like Molly Bloom's soliloquy, minus the rude bits.
That would have livened up his morning.
I'm claustrophobic.
Sorry?
I can't go to prison.
Who said anything about prison?
I'm stage management. I was responsible for the prop daggers.
I'm sure the police will investigate all the possibilities of what went wrong.
Martin's going to have this on his conscience for the rest of his life.
Martin was the student actor in 57 who dealt the fatal blow, and the playwright behind the grim-sounding cataclysm.
Poor Martin. He's already hypersensitive.
Seems pretty brusque to me.
He's got into personal issues.
Oh, I thought he was just rude.
Charles!
Too judgy.
Martin will be okay, Laura. The support officers are trained to deal with
oddball
situations like this.
What was Angus studying?
He wasn't a student. He left a couple of years ago and moved up here. But he was a big name on campus back in the day.
At her age, back in the day meant anything between the Trojan Wars and last Tuesday.
I need some air. Thanks, Francis.
She brought out your maternal side.
And your insensitive
How
side.
How am I insensitive?
Calling Martin rude.
He is rude.
He's troubled. Have you read Cataclysm?
The anti-corporate, anti-globalist call to arms exploring themes of personal and societal violence. Funnily enough, no, I haven't.
I have.
And is it brutal theatre for brutal times?
Well, it ain't Hello, Dolly, but it tells you more about his state of mind than the state of the nation. I'd say he's quite a disturbed young man.
If we don't get some rehearsal time, I'm going to be a disturbed middle-aged actor.
Middle?
Why does everything have to go weird?
Everything's been weird since 2016.
Politics are way beyond weird. I'm talking about a fatal accident on day one. What are the chances?
With you around, the odds are quite high.
You sound like Morris, the curse of Paris. Do you think I'm a showbiz jinx?
You're in shock. I'm in shock. The whole thing was shocking. Come on.
Where?
We both need a drink.
Now you're talking. Cheers.
I'm not being callous, but did he have to get stabbed in our rehearsal slot?
Let me know when you are being callous.
Does that make me very wicked?
Evil.
Seriously, though, when are we going to meet the tech team? Familiarise ourselves with the stage, explore the performance space.
Someone's been reading Directing for Dummies.
Have a word with James, see if he can get us a rehearsal space.
Why me? You're the director.
There's a bromance developing.
What?
You know the type. Public school, ex-army. He's the sort of man who responds better to other men. Are you listening to a word I've said?
What graduate hangs out with a bunch of students?
He owns the theatre.
Not James, Angus.
Some people can't tear themselves away from the alma mater.
But he'd already moved up here to live. Why get involved with student drama?
Credit on the CV? Favour for a mate?
Something doesn't smell right.
No bar smells right in the morning.
Something about his death feels wrong.
Okay, stop that right now.
Stop what?
Don't come the innocent. You're picking over an accident like a vulture looking for sinister motives.
Vultures pick for dinner, not motives.
Pedant.
But as you bring it up, I wonder if anyone might have been motivated to kill Angus. I don't get the feeling he was universally loved.
If you're going to play Inspector Rebus, I'll need another drink.
Aha. Oh. News must have reached the Adriatic. I'll take it outside.
Am I speaking to the personal assistant, to Azrael, the angel of death?
I take it you've heard the news.
It's trending. Hashtag old infirmary dagger death. Bad karma travels fast on social media.
I'm not on social media.
Good. No one wants to see you pouting by a pool in Portofino. One question. Was it your fault?
Absolutely not.
Oh, then I don't need to prepare a press release. Is that a stock sound effect to prove where you are?
During the festival, there's a piper on every corner. I'm sure half of them are Canadian.
Are you trying to get yourself cancelled?
By referring to Canadians?
Culture wars, Charles. Read the room.
I'm not in a room. I'm in the street listening to a piper who may or may not be Canadian.
So, how's it going?
They're starting to grow on me, although I can see why they were played going into battle.
Not the pipes, the show.
Oh, you know.
I don't. That's why I'm asking.
It'll be fine if we ever get into the theatre.
Well, I won't keep you from your whiskey.
What whiskey?
Charles Paris is in Edinburgh. Tell me I'm wrong. My flight's been called.
Travelling back from Venezia.
I'm already back from there.
Where are you off to now?
Gotta go, Bubbler. Big wet kiss to Francis.
Unaccustomed as she was to daytime drinking, my semi-detached director went back to our toy town flat for a lie down, while I grabbed a supersized macchiato to even up the toxins and sauntered over to the venue.
Hiya, Charles.
An aspiring pro, Anna was playing Mary Queen of Scots opposite Angus's Lord Rizzio.
Somebody else walking round in a daze.
Whiskey's taken the edge off mine.
If I drank, I'd try it.
You don't drink. Laura doesn't do caffeine. It's good to know the planet's in sober hands.
At the moment, Laura's convinced she's going to prison and Martin's walking around in a stupor.
As he was the one holding the dagger, that's understandable. In the assassination scene, do you happen to know if he always used the same dagger?
Well, they were colour-coded.
You seen James around today?
Well, the old guy that owns the place. I saw him talking to the police. You don't think they're going to shut us down?
Assuming they don't, can you carry on without Angus?
Well, the writer's going to play the part.
Another student dramatist?
Yeah, Sam. Tell you the truth, it's probably for the best.
You didn't rate Angus as an actor?
Well, to be honest, I'm not sure he did.
How well did you know him?
Hardly at all. We were just acting together. Music was his real thing. Anyway, I was a last-minute sub when the original Mary Queen of Scots dropped out.
The girl who broke her leg?
Sophie. I'm officially up here for a late-night sketch.
I got her lunchtime slot. Looks like we're both in her debt. I might send Sophie a get-well present.
She's still in Edinburgh. Just don't send chocolates.
Vegan.
And cocoa intolerant. Flowers might be safer.
Providing she's not allergic to pollen.
One actor breaks a leg. Another gets stabbed. Is show business always this dangerous?
Only when I'm around.
Oh, there's the old guy. I'm late for rehearsals. I'll see you tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
At the launch party.
What launch?
Charles, just the man. Can you spare a minute?
James led me into the venue he'd lovingly designed as a place for art and entertainment, not death and tragedy. Standing by a pile of sound equipment, a young woman pouted sadly at her phone.
Charles, this is Ailish, Angus's surviving partner.
She gave an Instagrammable smile, tear-pink eyes were the only outward sign of grief.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
That chicken thing hasn't stopped ringing all morning. Shut up! I know this is a cheek, but I don't suppose you could spare 10 minutes to help Ailish move Angus's stuff? I'd do it myself, but I'm juggling the police and insurance.
I'd be glad to help.
Are you sure? There's a lot of equipment.
Well, I once roaded for Soft Machine, 1967. The 14-hour Technicolor Dream.
She gave me a quizzical look like I was speaking Venusian, which I suppose I was.
I'll have to take this. Thanks, Charles. James Milne speaking?
The car's just outside.
In denial about the existence of a bilateral hernia, I lugged a ton of equipment into the back of something called a sarong, or Sahara, or was it a skink?
Will anyone help you unload at the other end?
Dang, I hadn't thought.
Well, would it help if I came along?
You must have better things to do with your day.
Strictly speaking, I did.
Well, they can wait.
Strictly speaking, they couldn't, but I'm a soft touch for a sad woman with woebegone eyes. Driving with reckless abandon, we tore across the city, my foot involuntarily stamping on an invisible brake pedal. She seemed bent on an early reunion with her late partner, and I was along for the ride.
You look a bit pale.
I'm fine.
If you can get some of the stuff out, I'll open up.
Pausing only to snap herself in half a dozen poses of photogenic unhappiness, she unlocked the door of a modest house at the end of a modest 19th century terrace.
Oh, last one.
Hashtag hero.
Oh, very hot hero. Temperature hot, not male model.
No.
Well, you didn't have to answer quite that fast.
I thought you might like a drink.
Hell yeah.
I sipped from a chilled tumbler of yellowish liquid.
Kombucha.
Gesundheit.
Fermented tea. It's supposed to be good for you.
So was Brexit.
I drink it all the time.
I'm sure you'll live forever. Sorry. That was tactless.
Shall we sit outside?
Yeah.
I followed her out to a back yard with a patio table and chairs overlooking a small building site.
Forgive the piles of rubble. We had a nice flat in town, but Angus wanted space for his music. This place was newly renovated with room to build a studio. Suppose I'll have to get actual builders in now.
Angus was doing it himself.
Well, he was impulsive, spontaneous. Like, hey, let's go to Paris. And the next thing, you're eating dinner on the left bank.
Well, that's romantic.
The downside is, how hard can it be to build a studio?
Hard?
Look around.
Got it.
All dream, no reality. Same with money. Sorry.
No, if you'd rather not talk.
It's quite cathartic.
Was he as much a musician as an actor?
More. DJ, producer. That was the grand plan.
Have you got a grand plan?
I've got my YouTube, Insta, TikTok.
Facebook, Twitter.
I'm not a granny.
Never talk about stuff you don't get.
Love and Other Lies is really taking off.
What's that?
My podcast.
Of course, wake up, Charles.
A new one lands soon. It's Under Wraps.
Is that the title?
No.
Oh, it could be about food packaging.
It's called If He Brings You Flowers, It's Over.
I sense a recurring theme.
They're both relationship podcasts.
Bad relationships.
No one's interested in the good ones. That's what audience feedback says.
That's a bit sad.
The world's full of disappointed love affairs. I don't want to gender stereotype, but in my experience, constant men only exist in romantic fiction.
What about Dinner on the Left Bank?
Turned out I wasn't the only woman who liked spontaneous, impulsive men, and Angus couldn't say no to any of them. I thought he was the one. Why am I telling you all this? A man who listens, that's why.
Well, we are out there.
If you've got a partner, I hope they appreciate you.
It's hard to tell. But sometimes, I think she does.
She's obviously never had other women's partners banging on the door in the middle of the night.
Time was when Frances would have been the aggrieved door banger, until she banged on one too many and gave me my marching orders.
Don't they say anger's the second stage of grief?
Yeah, why?
Angus infuriated me in life. Now he's doing it in death.
These irate partners.
What about them?
Were any of them angry enough? No, forget it.
It was an accident.
Yeah.
I mean, there were times when I could have murdered him.
A sudden chill as a cloud blotted the sun. My eye alighted on a pickaxe and a shovel.
I suppose if the police were looking for someone with a motive and a grudge...
Either could kill a man, including me. But the entire cast saw Angus die from a dagger wound.
Lucky for me, I've got an alibi. I was driving back from my parents' where I spent last night.
The cloud passed and warmth returned.
Finish your drink and I'll give you a lift back into town.
Yeah.
People are defensive about their driving. Then again, I wanted to stay alive, so I mumbled something about getting my 10,000 steps. On the bus home, Francis phoned to say the police had left and we could rehearse.
fade. Music. Sound cue 1, rippling water. Lighting cue 1. Charles steps into light.
One more unfortunate, weary of breath.
Are you going to do it like that?
Like what?
Oh, never mind, carry on.
One more unfortunate, weary of breath, rashly importunate, gone to her death. Take her up tenderly, lift her with care.
What's that?
I think it's Cardi B.
What do you know about Cardi B?
I'm down with the kids.
Can somebody turn it off?
Sorry, system's not responding.
We are never going to get this show ready. Come on, Charles. What's that voice?
What voice?
You were doing a poetry voice.
I beg your... I've done Larkin on poetry, please.
Exactly.
Right.
Where are you going?
I need a moment.
I'm your director. I'm allowed to give you notes.
Annoyingly, I knew she was right, but my bruised ego and I needed some me time and a consolatory smoke.
Where the hell are they?
If there's one thing worse than a harsh note, it's a harsh note from a director you're sharing a bed with. Worse still, a celibate bed.
Someone looks desperate.
Sorry?
Here, have one of mine.
Oh, you're a lifesaver.
Or the reverse. We haven't been formally introduced. Tessa, I'm directing...
Mary, Queen of Scots.
Well, it's actually called 57, but yeah. And you're Charles' one-man show lunchtime slot. Shouldn't you be rehearsing?
We had to evacuate.
Oh, not another accident.
Not this time. My evocation of a Victorian drowning was drowned out by Cardi B, and the sound guy couldn't turn her off.
That'll be one of James's good causes.
How do you mean?
Oh, sorry, I shouldn't be unkind. It's just that, well, James is a bit of a soft touch when it comes to... Look, anything I say is going to come across as heartless.
Go on.
He does loads of good work with disadvantaged young people.
He employs them here. I think it's great.
Mm. Yeah, it is. It's fantastic. It's just, well, sometimes his heart overrules his head. I mean, please, don't get me wrong. He's doing incredibly good work here. But occasionally he puts his faith in the wrong kid. And I'm guessing that's what happened with your sound guy.
I see.
You're a friend of Jeff's, aren't you?
We were undergraduates together. Now he's a professor.
Yeah, my boss at the university.
It's thanks to him that I'm up here in the lunchtime slot.
Of course. When poor Sophie broke her leg.
Must have been awful for her, all ready to do a one-woman show.
Well, she was also playing Mary, Queen of Scots in the one I'm directing.
Oh, that really is bad luck. Did you ever teach Angus?
No, no, he left before I started teaching. I dodged that bullet.
Why?
I shouldn't speak ill, but it was bad enough trying to direct him. I'd hate to have been his tutor.
Then why did you cast him?
Well, I didn't. Someone else was directing, but they got a better offer. I stepped in late and Angus was a done deal.
Done by who? Or is it whom?
A student called Sam wrote the play. He wanted someone who could act and do the music.
I see. What was in it for Angus?
How do you mean?
He was no longer a student. Why do a student show?
Well, between you and me, I think he liked being a big fish in a small pond.
Right.
Don't ask me why, but the students thought he was cool. I just wanted someone reliable who could act, not a cocky man, baby. I had to fetch from home because he was working on his studio and lost track of time.
Ailish showed me the building site. What a mess. Mm.
Like their relationship.
Really?
I don't like to judge, but I'm pretty sure that Angus wasn't a one-woman guy.
Unsurprisingly, Frances had left after I'd flounced off, and I was halfway through a grovelingly apologetic text when James appeared.
So sorry about the tech problem, Charles, and after you helped me out with Ailish, it's not good enough. I've torn a strip off the lads. Can I offer you a malt by way of an apology?
Are we talking Ovaltine?
What a day. I hope we'll be able to hold the launch.
I heard something about that.
You should have had an invitation. Ugh, if a job needs doing, I'll text you a couple of tickets. It's just a little informal lunchtime thing, a chance to get creatives and press together. Okay, tickets sent. I'll bollock the office kids later.
Well, not on my account.
Oh, don't worry. I'm a fair employer, but all of these young people come from pretty challenging backgrounds, and I want to inculcate in them a good work ethic. That sounds a bit paternalistic, but They've grown up in chaos and need to relearn trust and stability.
I suppose what happened doesn't help.
No, quite. Shocking business.
Strange to have known someone just for the last minutes of their life. Not that I knew him. There wasn't time to judge his character.
Well, I don't think we're supposed to judge in these non-judgmental days.
Tell that to Eilish, Anna and Tessa.
Do I take it they weren't his biggest fans?
The portrait they jointly painted was less than flattering.
Nevertheless, a man is dead. I suppose we shouldn't gossip out of respect.
Well, absolutely.
It wasn't a rebuke. Top up?
Why not? It's a bad habit of mine.
Drinking?
Well, that too, but I meant looking for puzzles and clues.
Crossword man?
Takes one to know one.
We sniff each other out. It's like a Masonic handshake. So, what's puzzling you?
What was a club DJ doing with a bunch of students?
They're his people?
I'm an actor, but I don't hang out with my audience.
How unflattering was this joint portrait?
Anna said they weren't close, but she didn't rate him as an actor. Tessa said he was unreliable and untrustworthy, which was backed up by Eilish, who described an impetuous, selfish womaniser.
From which you deduce what?
I wouldn't say deduce, exactly.
One crossword to another.
Well, let's imagine Angus's death wasn't an accident.
It happened in plain sight, in a room full of people.
But if you wanted to bump someone off, wouldn't that be a clever way of doing it?
Aren't you jumping several guns? So far, all you've told me is that Angus was a bit of a roué. If all women murdered men who wronged them, the prisons would be full. Fact, Charles. What do we actually know?
We know Martin was holding the dagger that killed him. Frances read his play. She says it's incredibly violent, the work of a disturbed mind.
The Duchess of Malfi, Titus Andronicus, Medea. Playwrights can write about violence without committing it.
Point taken.
The police seem to think it was just a tragic accident.
You mentioned wronged women. What if it was a wronged man?
Well, I suppose Angus might have been bisexual.
Or he slept with Martin's girlfriend.
Has Martin got a girlfriend?
No idea.
If you're just looking for anyone with a tenuous link to the dead man, you'd better put me down as a suspect.
You?
Yeah, Angus and Eilish bought a house from me, the house you visited today.
I don't know if I'm surprised by that or the fact that a young couple could afford to buy anything.
Well, I don't know much about DJing, but I got the feeling Eilish comes from money. When I inherited the place, it was run down. I had it renovated and they put in the best offer.
Well, no haggling, no bad feeling.
I'm afraid everything went through smoothly and amicably. Sorry.
Oh, damn.
Have you sat up smoking all night?
I was grilling kippers as a breakfast surprise.
Oh, the surprise being fish-shaped carbon.
Oh, is that mine?
Mine, if I can read through the smoke. Do something about that alarm.
Yeah.
Oh. It's Martin wanting to know what I think of his play.
What have you said?
I've told him we'll talk at the launch party. Oh. He's not going to the party. He's meeting someone in Haymarket.
That buys you some time to work out how to let him down gently.
I might not want to.
Well, you're not going to direct his mad psychodrama.
At least he's interested in my notes.
I deserve that.
Let's get breakfast out.
Didn't you say Martin was meeting someone in Haymarket?
Yeah, I think so.
Then why is he over the road, walking in the opposite direction?
Where? Charles!
Oh.
You're going to get us killed.
We trailed Martin into Montague Terrace, where between a tattoo parlour and a chippy, he descended stone steps and let himself into a dingy-looking doorway.
Now what?
I don't know.
Then let's go.
But he told you he was meeting someone in Haymarket.
He's a free agent and I'm not his mother.
Don't you think it's odd?
That a young man I barely know says he's going to one place and goes to another.
See, now you say it like that.
Come on, we're going to be late.
By the time we arrived, James's little informal lunchtime thing was heaving with creatives schmoozing anyone who might be able to promote their show or further their career.
Isn't that what's-his-name?
Who's what's-his-name?
Stand up.
I am standing up.
Not you, him.
No, Edinburgh's full of stand-ups.
He's on all the panel shows, you know. What's-his-name? Laughs at his own jokes in case nobody else does.
Am I pleased to see you?
Oh, hi.
Sorry to butt in. I'm new to all this, and you're the first friendly faces that I've seen.
Anna, this is Francis.
Mary, Queen of Scots! Charles tells me you're going into the business.
Well, that's the plan. But looking around this room, I'm starting to get a bad case of imposter syndrome.
Oh, sod that. You've got as much right to be here as anyone else, hasn't she?
I'll let you into a little secret. Everyone's insecure. Even what's-his-name over there.
Really?
Why do you think he looks so miserable? He knows any minute now he could get found out.
Oh, aren't you the actor in the Viagra advert?
What the hell are you doing here?
And who's this?
Say hello to Judy, my rescue pug.
Who rescued who?
I love pugs.
Oh, she's taken a shine to you.
Hello.
Not so much to you.
Oh. Hello, hello, you lovely. Oh, I want.
Well done, Morris.
We have been introduced. I'm Morris.
Anna.
What are you doing in Edinburgh?
Well, after the Queen of the Adriatic, I thought I'd pop up to the Athens of the North, see who's who, what's what, do a little light scouting for talent.
The judge warned you about that.
Oh, I've missed your rapier wit. How's he been, Francis? You can tell me. Is he as difficult as they say?
He threw a bit of a hissy fit when I gave him a note about his poetry voice.
I have never thrown a hissy
fit. Not the poetry voice.
Do you mind?
Watch where you're going! Oh.
Is Laura drunk?
She doesn't do artificial stimulants.
Do you think she needs help?
You stay here and tell Anna about your working process. Mm.
So, you're an actress.
Well, that is the plan.
Oh, everything's moving.
Come on, let's get you some air. Oh. There you go.
Why won't things stay still?
Nice deep breaths.
Oh, so embarrassed.
We've all done it.
Not me. I feel horrible.
That's booze for you.
Oh, it's all so awful, and now they're going to send me to prison.
No one's sending you to prison.
I lied to the police.
Lied?
You were supposed to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing.
Lied about what?
I didn't tell them everything. I can't go to prison.
What didn't you tell them?
Steps.
What steps?
I was down at the bottom and they were up at the top. I heard her shout.
You mean Sophie?
She shouted, "Stop it!" Then she just fell.
You said they were at the top?
Oh, God.
Who's they?
I don't feel well.
Who was up at the top when Sophie shouted?
Angus.
Are you saying he pushed her?
I think I'm gonna be sick.
All of a sudden, my puzzler's mind refocused. Could Angus have been a murder victim and also an attempted murderer?
In episode 2 of So Much Blood, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. James was Roger Ringrose, Tessa, Joanna Munro, Anna, Natasha Kaystone, Laura, Chloe Summer, and Ailish, Catriona Sterling. So Much Blood was written by Jeremy Front, based on the book by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Evans. It was a BBC audio production for Radio 4.